Good morning, everyone. If I can get all my material in place here. As Brother Jason alluded to in the Lord's table, there was a tragedy this week with a young man at Southeast Polk, and it's kind of been on my mind quite a bit after going to the visitation and everything, too, and seeing all the people that were there and talking with his parents briefly and all the things that you go through when you go through a tragedy like this. And it's my understanding that not only did they lose their son, but they also lost the dad's brother just died a couple days later than that on a motorcycle, was killed also. So it was a very tragic week and a very sad occasion. So my mind has been thinking a lot about life and death this week, and this kind of prompted me or stirred my mind to bring you some of the thoughts that we're going to talk about, and that is about life and death and the things that we should really be happy for, some of the sad things that unfortunately we go through and see in our life. My first thought when this happened or when I heard about this was, why would this person do this? Why would this young man who had been in sports with my son and I've known his parents through sports and so on. So it was a very nice young man who seemed to be very, very smart, very well-liked, very popular as what we could tell by all the people who came to the visitation when I was there, and he just seemed like he had so much going for him. Why would he do something like that? And you know, so many of us think, first of all, we try not to think this, but we try, first of all, sometimes we get it in our mind of, took his life, you know where he's going, you know, this is such a horrible, horrible thing. And I think also, you know, this is between him and God, and I think that's the way to do it, is put it in God's hands. I don't know the religious background of this person. I do know that he's a very nice individual. Unfortunately, made a poor choice. Basically, what I found out and understood about it is what actually caused this to happen was deep depression. There's so many people on earth today who take their lives because of deep depression. And for whatever reason that was causing this, there was something that that drove him to this point. I'm very thankful that it's between him and God, that God knows the individual and God takes care of where this person's going. The sad part of it is that this person took his life. All the people around him were touched by it and hurt by it, and his parents will, of course, have to deal with that for the rest of their life. But it not only was a sad thing, but I think it was a very humbling experience to see this kind of thing happening. But it brings me to the thoughts of what I'd like to bring out this morning, and that is things that pertain to life and death. I have a source book that is very good on this subject. I'd like to kind of read some thoughts from it as well as apply it to, applies very well to the Bible. And first of all, let's think about what is life. Life is what we make it. It's either sweet or it's bitter. It's either hot or it's cold. It's either bright or it's dark. We're all different stages of our life. It's basically what we make it. We're either going to enjoy it or we're not. It's all up to us. It's what we make it. Second thing it talks about is it says it's such a comfort to drop the tangles of life into God's hands and leave them there. This is a very key point that we need to realize as we're going through life. We need to put it into God's hands and leave it there. We can't carry our burdens by ourselves. We need to put them in God's hands. The next point is saying that life makes one demand on every organism, every living organism, namely that it comes to terms with the situation it confronts. Realizing there's two ways to meet a situation. Sometimes you can change the situation, other times you must change yourself. Sometimes we can change the situation that we're under, and other times we can't. We have to learn from it, and we have to apply it to ourselves, we have to change ourselves. Next saying is, life is a mirror. Life like a mirror, excuse me, never gives back more than we put into it. We never get more than we put back, than we put into things. And we can see in the church, we never get more than we put into that. We only get as much as we put into being here today. We only get as much as we put into life. Jesus never taught men how to make a living. He taught men how to live. And he taught us how to live in the Bible. We have the Bible to tell us how to live. We're only going to go through life once. So we need to be careful how we live our lives. In Hebrews 9 and 27 it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The next point is, there's three anchors of life. I believe God, I belong to God, and I serve God. And if we do these three anchors, God's going to be with us, and we're going to have a happy life, a happy Christian life. The next saying is, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. You know, this is a great thought, something we need to hold on to as Christians. Because I don't know about you, there's many things in the world that can bring me down, whether it's something in work, when I'm driving, which I do a lot for my job. There's just many things out there with things that are going on with our government, our economy. There's just so many things that can bring you down. But if we let God have our life, we can overcome these things. And without God, we only have one thing to do, and that's to fail. But with God in control, much good can happen for us. The next point is, a useless life is only an early death. This kind of made me think about suicide and what happened to this individual. And when the first thought that comes to my mind, unfortunately, which I wished it wouldn't, but it does, I thought, what a waste. What a useless life and an early death. And I can only say enough to you, I would hope that this would never happen with anybody here, but suicide is never the answer. Putting your life into God's hand is the only thing that's going to make you happy. Giving God our lives is the only thing that's going to keep us on the right track. This next one is called The Secret of a Happy Life. The secret of a happy life is an industrious hand which gladness finds in earnest work for noble purpose planned. Excuse me. It leaves no time for idle fears, thoughts morbid or depressed, but cheerfully it does its part and leaves to heaven the rest. The secret of a happy life is in a loving heart, whose goodwill flows to all its kind, to all would joy impart. It shares in others' weal and woe, is not with self engrossed. The richest and the happiest heart is his who loves the most. The secret of a happy life is a believing soul, serenely trusting in the power which animates the whole. On earnest, upright, loving lives, heaven's choicest blessings fall. The Christ of God within the soul, the crowning joy of all. The secret of a happy life. Here it's talking about keeping yourself busy, enjoying what you do, enjoying your work, what you do. Do it to your best ability. Finish the job that you have, your task that you're doing. Give it your best ability. And that gives you a good feeling of accomplishment. That makes you happy. It keeps away or overcomes your fears and your bad thoughts and your depression and keeps you cheerful and, of course, leaves the rest to God, because that's what God wants you to do. That's one of the things a happy life is. It's also having a loving heart, as it talked about. Showing God's will, showing God's kindness to others, causing joy for us as we do this and for others. Sharing, listening, helping others with their trials and their problems. Not thinking just of ourselves, but sharing our love with others. And that rewards us with true happiness. Happy life is also being a true believer, wholly trusting in God and His power and in His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're earnest and upright and loving, heaven's best blessings will be given to us. And with Christ in our soul, that's the greatest of all blessings that we can get, that we can obtain to keep us happy. The next point is, do not take life too seriously. You will never get out of it alive. All of us here will have to die, or if we're still here remaining when Christ comes, we'll be changed. So we don't want to take this life here on earth too seriously. We should be focusing on the life to come, because this is only temporary. The next point is, enjoy your life without comparing it with that of others. How many of us have compared our life with others? I know I probably have. Probably many of us here at one time or another have done this. To be happy, we must enjoy our life. We must enjoy ourselves. We must feel good about what we're doing and ourselves, and not compare ourselves, our life, to others. In James 4 and 14, it tells us what life is. So what is life? This next point says it's a mystery. Life is a mystery. Our earthly life is often mysterious. Life is also a gracious gift from God. In Genesis 2:7, it said that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's a gracious gift from God. There's nothing that we count more precious than life. And we really realize this if we have a serious illness of any kind. Life is also a race. It involves preparation, struggle, and reward. Life is also a journey. This is talking about observations that we have in life, experiences we have, and destination. Life is also uncertain, as we saw this week, those who knew him. Talks about this in James 4 and 14 again. Life's uncertain. This is true to the content of the content of our lives, as well as to the length of our lives. Life is brief. It's like a vapor, it's like a flower and the grass, and so on. And life is eternal. Death does not have an end. We know we have an eternal life after this. And we'll go to, depending on how we live this life, that will depend on where we go. It's not doing the thing that we like, but it's liking the thing that we have to do that makes life happy. It's not doing the thing we like, but liking the thing that we have to do that makes life happy. You know, some things in life just happen that we don't understand. We wonder why. Sometimes things just don't make any sense to us. Why do some things happen a certain way? Why do some things happen to certain people? Why do some things not happen to certain people? Why do things happen one way? Why do things happen another way? Life's a mystery. It can be a mystery. God gave us the gift of life, as it talked about. He made a woman from the rib of man and gave her life. There's nothing more precious than life to us. Life that we can see in a newborn child is very precious. Life is a gracious gift from God. Life is a race. We have to prepare ourselves to do well. We have to do everything we can in the race that we're going through for God. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have struggles. And if we give it our best, we're going to be rewarded because we have a race to win. In our journey of life, we're going to observe many things. We're going to experience many things. We'll work towards our goals in life. And our main goal should be our final destination of heaven. How we live on earth will determine our destination, heaven or hell. In James 4 and 14 it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow," life's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen in our life. Something could happen to us today, tomorrow, tonight, year from now. We don't know. It's very uncertain how long of each of us are going to live on this earth. Life is very uncertain. But one thing is certain, God will do what he says he will do. He will punish the unjust, and he will give glory in heaven to those who are righteous. In 2 Peter 3 and 8, it tells us that we are here for a brief time on earth. Our lives are brief here on earth to God. One day is like 1,000 years to God. It tells us in 2 Peter 3:8. It also says in James 4 and 14 that for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And like a flower or grass, they appear for a short time and then just like that, they're gone. We can see that in the different seasons. We're now seeing spring come upon us and we're seeing the grass change and grow. The flowers will be blooming soon. To the Christian, it's a very comforting thought that life is eternal. Death is not the end for us. As Christians, our goal is eternal life. Eternal life with God and Christ in heaven. And we know that God promises that to those who are faithful. And taking your life is not the answer. Trying to take your life, whether you're driven by deep depression or whatever it may be, is not the answer. The next point is, life is a story in volumes 3. The past, the present, the yet to be. The first is finished and laid away. The second we're reading day by day. The third and last of volume 3 is locked from sight. God keeps the key. God knows what's going to happen to us. God holds the key to our future if we allow him. If we don't allow him, he also holds the key to our future because it won't be in heaven, it'll be in hell. The next point is, take care of your life and the Lord will take care of your death. God's going to decide what happens to us when we die. It's in his hands. He tells us this in the Bible and tells us many places. We take care of our life and live righteously, we'll be rewarded in heaven. Also in Psalms 116:15, I'd like to read that quickly. Psalms 116:15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." As it says there, it's very precious to God if we die in him. That's our whole reason for being here. That's what God's purpose is for us, to die in him. And he loves it when we die in Christ for him. The next point is, life with Christ is an endless hope. Life with Christ is an endless hope. Without him, a hopeless end. Through Christ, we have an endless hope. We always have hope through Christ. But those who are without Christ, what do they have? They have a hopeless end until they receive God and Christ in their hearts and take the steps necessary to be saved. They really have nothing to that point. But we should be thankful that we have an endless hope. Closing, I'd like to read this last part. Excuse me. And it's entitled, Things That Count. It's not what we have, but what we use. It's not what we see, but what we choose. These are the things that mar or bless, the sum of human happiness. The things nearby, not things afar, not what we seem, but what we are. These are the things that make or break, that give the heart its joy or ache. It's not what seems fair, but what is true. It's not what we dream, but the good we do. These are the things that shine like gems, like stars and futures, like stars and fortune's diadems. It's not what we take, but what we give. Not as we pray, but as we live. These are the things that make for peace. Both now and after time, they shall cease. These are the things that count. We're going to offer you the gospel invitation. And think about the things that count in life. Think about the things that are important in life. I think it can make us realize, and unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy or something bad to happen for us to think a little bit more about this, that God is in control if we allow Him to be. He's in control either way, but if we allow Him to be in control in our lives and to help us to do the right things for Him, then we will receive our heavenly goal. So this is our chance now to either think about this and either be happy, have a happy life, or an unhappy life. You can be happy in Christ or unhappy without Him. As we consider these thoughts pertaining to life and death, where we're now at in our time in our lives, let's think about these things and appreciate the opportunity that we have as Christians to serve God and to start our Christian life. We give you the opportunity right now because that will help to protect you from your death. We ask that you stand and sing as we sing the song of invitation.